Good morning, Powhatan Church. I tell you, that never gets old. That never gets old. Good morning to all of you and to any visitors that we have and people joining us remotely today. I am so glad that you're here. Whether you're here in person or whether you're joining us remotely from wherever you might be, I am so glad that you decided to make Powhatan Church a part of your day. Today is Mother's Day, and to all of our mothers, we honor you today. My mom went on home to be with the Lord many years ago, and I miss her. I really do. But you know what? I've got fond memories of her. I've got some funny memories of her. Yeah, that's exactly right. And you know what? I've got a lot of other strong women that have been in my life. Many of you here today that have had an impact on my life, and you continue to have an impact on my life. And I love you, and I appreciate that from the bottom of my heart. I will tell you, normally on Mother's Day here at Powhatan, as you know, we recognize the youngest mother, the oldest mother, the mother with the most children that is here at service. But due to this coronavirus, we're unable to do that this year so we can maintain our social distancing. But we do have a way today that I believe you can honor the mothers in your life. As I mentioned in several of our one-call messages this week, we're in the process of collecting money for the kids at our Free Will Baptist Children's Home over in Middlesex. We're going to purchase gift cards for them. They've had it tough. As everybody, but they've got seniors that are not going to be able to walk across the stage to graduate. They've not been able to assemble together like they normally would. They've not been able to have visitors to campus. Many of you went with us tonight. We went over on Sunday night, and we had a meal with them. Those kids put away some tacos, didn't they? Oh, my gracious. And then we had a worship service with them. They've not been able to do any of that. And one of the small blessings and enjoyments they've had is being taken off campus in very small groups to go through a fast food restaurant like KFC or Bojangles or Taco Bell to get a meal. That's been one of their areas of enjoyment. So we would like to help them with that. So we're taking donations. If you feel led to do so, you don't have to, but if you do, we're taking donations, and we're going to purchase some gift cards to fast food restaurants so they can have a meal off campus. Now, what I am suggesting is if you would like to make a donation, you can do that in honor of your mother, or if she's passed on like mine, in memory of your mother. There's several ways that you can do this. We have our tithe bucket on the shelter. Many of you are familiar with that. You can drop that in there, just earmark it for the Free Will Baptist Children's Home as you leave today. You can mail it in to our P.O. Box 1955. In Clayton 27528, or Miss Donna Price, who is organizing this, has agreed that she will actually come and pick this up. Her number is 704-621-4114, and we'd like to probably get that to them sometime this week. So prayerfully consider making a donation to those kids at our Free Will Baptist Children's Home. Only a couple of other announcements. Don't forget about our Wednesday evening service virtually that you can join online. That'll begin on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, and you can join in by going to our church website and clicking on the live audio stream button. And finally, I've not talked with our deacons, but I'll be contacting them, and I'll be meeting with them in the next week or so to evaluate our services going forward. Things are starting to loosen up a little bit, and I cannot wait for all of us to get back together inside of our building as soon as possible. But I will tell you this, and understand, we're going to do this smartly. We're going to do this and be smart about it. We're going to be cautious about this. We're probably going to err on the side of caution and maybe do this in stages with some guidelines in place to make sure everyone is safe until we're sure we're past the danger point with this virus. We've been very blessed as a church body so far, and we want to keep it that way. We want to remain safe, and I can tell you, when we get back together, it is going to be an awesome time. It is going to be an awesome time. We want to open up, as always, with in prayer. Continue to remember the Betty Johnson family, Miss Linda Bunn, MJ, all of that family. Remember the family of Mr. Lawrence Crabtree. We had his service on Monday. Also remember the family of David Godwin. My friend from Newton Grove had his funeral yesterday. David passed away on Tuesday, and we had his service yesterday. Continue to remember Cheryl Cobb, Miss Sandra Kennedy's sister. Last Sunday, things had taken a turn for the worst. She's doing better. Miss Sandra got a chance to talk to her, and she's doing better, but she's still got a long way to go. Even when she's sent home, she's going to be dealing with some pretty strong antibiotics. So continue to lift her up. Continue to remember her. Thank you for your prayers for Jamie Coates. I can see JC smiling out there in her car. Jamie had his heart catheterization this week, and thank you for your prayers. No blockages. No blockages. He's having some issues with the myasthenia gravis that he deals with, bless his heart, all the time. That's affecting this, but no blockages. So that was wonderful news. Keep Skip and D-Day in your prayers. They were involved in an automobile accident on Wednesday evening. A car hit them in the rear end. They've got some whiplash. And you know, Skip's got some back problems. Miss D has got some arthritis issues. They're sore and hurting. But praise the Lord, they were not seriously injured, and that's just a blessing. Continue to remember Brother Ray Stevens as he goes through his treatments. Good to see Miss Barbara. She lifted up her hands this morning. She said, thank everybody for their prayers. She said, but I feel rejuvenated. She's got a brand new pacemaker. She's good for another 50,000 miles, I believe, Mr. J. So thank you for your prayers for her. Thank you for your prayers for Miss Ann Nairn. She came through her surgery okay. And she's going to be dealing with some pain, I'm sure, from that. But hopefully she can get past that quickly. Remember Alana. Alana has got some surgery coming up tomorrow morning. Remember Brother Percy Smith. He's got some tests coming up. We need to remember him. Miss Linda Davis. This is Miss D-Day's sister. Her cancer has returned, and they are asking that we certainly remember Miss Linda. Continue to remember Kemper Hudson. This is the young man, teenager, dealing with liver cancer. Continue to lift up Aunt Elgie Rhodes and Aunt Verna Green, both sisters of Mom and Aunt Elgie. They both need our prayers. Beverly is going to have to do something about this kidney stone, bless her heart. She's been dealing with that all week, and just continue to lift her up and remember her. Miss Joyce Adcox sent me a note and asked that we remember her and her family as well. And many of you may not know this gentleman. I know some of the people here that are listening in that went to school in my era. I remember the name Adrian Smart. Adrian's brother, Terry, and his wife, I believe, go to Amelia here in Clayton. I'm not sure, but I know Terry's been in a lot of, and his wife have been in a lot of the Thanksgiving singings that we have been to. His brother, Adrian, was injured on the job on Thursday, very seriously. He's been through a surgery, and right now, Adrian is paralyzed from the waist down. And we're not sure, Terry's not sure how much of that will come back, if any. But he's alone. He's in, they won't let anybody visit him. He's in New Hanover Regional Medical Center. And Terry just asked that we remember his brother Adrian in our prayers. So I'm going to ask that you just lift him up in a very special way. Remember our seniors. Remember our world and our nation. And remember me. I mentioned this last Sunday. Yesterday was the third funeral I've had in 8 days. And when families are hurting, when my people, my family's in the hospital and I can't get there, it's driving me crazy. And I just ask for your prayers. I need them. I need them. Let's join our hearts together and take all of these to our Lord and also ask his blessings on our service today. Father, you have blessed us this week, Father, with prayers that have been answered, people that have been hurting, people that have gone through surgery. Lord, you've been right on the scene and you've taken care of everyone. Even those, Lord, that are bereaved because of loved ones that have gone on, we know you've just had your arms around them and you've taken care of them this week. You brought us all back together again this morning, Lord, and what another beautiful day we have to enjoy worship together. And yet, Lord, there's so many that are hurting. So many, Lord, that are unsure of what the future might bring. And Lord, for all of these listed, outspoken this morning, for all of those on our hearts that are just between us and you, Father, we ask that you minister to them as only you can. We ask that you give them healing and comfort and peace and deliverance or whatever is required in each situation. Let them feel your presence with them even now, and let them know in their spirit that people that care about them are lifting them up in prayer. Your word says that you'll never leave us or forsake us, and I know that you'll be with them. Father, as we study your word this morning, I pray, Father, you give me the words to say that you've laid on my heart. Not my words, Father, but yours. And I pray that you touch hearts, Father, whether they're here, present with us, or somewhere else listening remotely. Your word tells us that your word will not return void, but it will accomplish the purpose that you send it out to do. Father, we claim that promise this morning and ask that if there are any that are lost, that don't know you, that don't have that personal relationship with you, that you would touch them in a very special and a mighty way this morning. Father, this time is yours, and we look forward to all that you're going to do. And we ask it in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. My text this morning is just a couple of verses, and I think it'll just kind of set the stage for what we're going to talk about, our mothers, today. But our text is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 19, beginning in verse 26. And the scene is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ hanging on the cross. And beginning in verse 26, it says, when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her into his own home. Church, let me ask you something. Where would we be without the strong women of the Bible? More specifically, where would we be without the mothers of the Bible? Eve, she was the first mother, the mother of all mankind. Sarah, the mother of Isaac. Jacobed, the mother of Moses, that loved him enough to give him up. Hannah, the mother of Samuel, who said, Lord, if you'll just give me a child, I'll give him back to you. Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived. Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist. And what about Mary? The mother of Jesus. God, in his wisdom, chose Jesus to be born of a woman and to enter the world like every other child through the pain of childbirth. He entered the world just like any other child, but he was without sin. We find in Genesis that childbirth became painful for women because of the fall of Adam and Eve. It says, unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. The very pain of childbirth is a consequence of our sin against God in the Garden of Eden. When you think about it, mothers pay the price for these precious children right from the start. Now, don't get me wrong, fathers pay too. They pay later in terms of providers and protectors and planners, but we'll save that for Father's Day. But I want you to get this picture in your mind. Jesus is hanging on a cross between heaven and earth, being crucified. Mary was standing at the foot of that cross, seeing all of this. Can you imagine how she felt? There's her baby. My mama used to look at me when I was 25, 35 years old. She'd look at me and say, "You're my baby." And I'd kind of play that off. And she said, "I don't care how old you are, you'll always be my baby." I kind of understand what she's talking about now. I got a son that could pick me up and body slam me, but he's still my baby. He's still that 4-pound, 1-ounce kid that I held. And I can assure you, he is still Ginger's baby. Mary witnessed this. And while Jesus is hanging there, he looks down and he turns to John. John's known as the disciple that Jesus loved. I think John and Jesus had a very special relationship. And he looks at John and he says, "John, take care of him." And he looks at his mother and says, "Mom, let him stand in my place as your son." History tells us that John lived a very long life, and I believe he took care of Mary until she left this world. But I want you to think about this, church. Here is Jesus, our Lord, hanging on the cross, bearing the sins of the whole world on his shoulders, yours and mine. And yet he takes the time to ensure that his mother is taken care of when he's gone. This is God made incarnate. This is God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us, taking care of eternal matters. But you know, he was both divine and human. He was fully God and fully man. And as a man, he's showing all of us today how important it is to care and love our mothers. I want you to imagine that. Even in the most crucial moment of his mission to earth, his crucifixion, Jesus took the time to ensure that his mother would be cared for when he was gone. That's high praise. Many of you here, your mother may be like mine. She's gone on to be with the Lord. But if your mother is still around, and regardless of your age or her age, I think you can love her in several ways. Love her verbally. Love her verbally. You know, sometimes men, we have trouble saying those three little words, "I love you." Sometimes men say, "I don't need to say that. She knows I love her. I don't need to say it. I show it." All that might be true, but I can promise you, your kids, your spouse, and your mom, they all love to hear, "I love you." I'm waving at my buddy, Ricky McLeod. Ricky and I go back to when we were both little. And there's not too many times that Ricky doesn't come up to me on a Sunday and hug me and say those three little words, "I love you." And he knows I love him, and I know he loves me. But you know what? It does my heart good. I get notes from y'all. Text, emails, cards, and calls. And 9 times out of 10, y'all will say or write, "I love you." And you know what? I know you do. And even if you don't love me, well, you got to love me. The Bible says you don't have to like me, you got to love me. But I was talking with Miss Betty the other night. She's a lady that's had an influence on my life. And she told me several times in our conversation, she said, I love you, son. And you know what? I know she does. But it does my heart good. We need to tell our mothers that we love them. Yeah, they may know it. But if she's still around, go tell her. We need to love her physically. How many times did our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ heal somebody that the world would not get close to? People that had leprosy, they were shunned by society. People wouldn't get close to them. And many times when Jesus healed these people, it said that he went up and he laid his hands on them. One of the toughest things about this coronavirus is I can't shake your hands and I can't hug you. I'll be glad when it's over. We might just have a hugging service one day. When's the last time you went up to your mom and gave her a big old hug without her asking for it? Or a kiss on the cheek? She's the first person that ever held you and me. She carried you in her body for months. And when you arrived, her first priority was to hold you and cuddle you, stroke your head and rub your feet, give you a finger to hold on to. And she did all of those things out of love. Remember the times your mom would look at you when you were little and say, come give mama some sugar. And you went over and instead of really kissing her, you slobbered on her more than anything else. And she took all of it in stride and even told you thank you. You'd hug her so tight that she couldn't breathe and she didn't need to even hold on to you. She changed your diapers. She potty trained you. She took Kleenex and wiped your nose. She wiped food off your chin longer than she probably needed to. She constantly reached out and touched you. And she deserved your touch as well. We can also love her patiently. Love her patiently. I have to tell you a story about my mom that involves patience. Mom got to a point that she couldn't drive. Or let me rephrase this. She could drive, but not safely. And so I took her keys away from her. Made her as mad as I have ever seen her. She had a doctor's appointment coming up the next week. And I had to go out of town on a business trip to Iowa. And I told her, I said, Ginger's going to come get you. She's going to take you to your doctor's appointment and bring you back. The day I was leaving on my business trip, I had my bag on my shoulder and my phone rang in my house. I picked my phone up. Hello? No hello, no nothing. This is what I heard. I'm going to ask you one more time. Can I drive to my doctor's appointment? I said, no, ma'am, you can't. Ginger's going to take you. And this is what I heard. Well, I'm going to tell you this. I hope when you're my age, Spencer doesn't treat you like you've treated me. Now, I'd be lying to you if I told you that didn't hurt. That's been a lot of years ago, and I can remember it just as good as if it's right now. But you know what? The older I've got, what I've realized, she wasn't as much mad at me as losing her independence. My Uncle Cheryl and my Aunt Margaret, another woman that never had children of her own, but she was a mother to me. I remember Uncle Cheryl called me one time and he said, "You're doing the right thing by taking her keys." He said, "His son, it's like I've always heard, you're once an adult and you're twice a child." As moms, and even dads, but we're talking about moms today, as they get older, we need to be patient with them because they're experiencing changes that are sometimes hard to take. They're sometimes hard for them to understand. So be patient with your mom. Love her patiently. Also, another way we can show mom how much we love her is love her attentively. Those of you that knew my mom knew this. She had an opinion on about everything. Miss Barbara's nodding. She did. She had an opinion on about everything. And sometimes, and when I was growing up, I didn't want to hear her opinion. But you know what I can be thankful about now? Is that she always would listen when I'd pour out my heart. She had a sympathetic ear. And even if I went to her as an adult, she was always willing to listen. She'd give her opinion, and it might not be what I wanted to hear, but it'd be what she thought was best. It really encapsulated the statement she said one time, that you'll always be my baby. I saw a documentary sometimes back where men that were on death row, having committed capital crimes, were being interviewed about their upbringing. And they also interviewed a lot of the mothers of these convicted criminals. And the mothers, without exception, would say, "I don't know why they're doing this to him. He's a good boy." The interviewer would go, "Well, he killed 37 people with an axe." And the response would be, "But he's got a good heart." You see, it didn't matter what they had done. They were still their mother's kid. It's no wonder we like to talk to mom. There's been a few times since my mom passed away where I wished I could talk to her. I may not like her opinion, but I wanted it. But you know what? As our moms age and if they get older, now it's our turn to be their rock. Take time to listen to them. You might say, "Well, Pastor, you don't know my mom. Every time I talk to her, she's always complaining." Yeah, just like we did. Just like we did. Sometimes as they get older, our moms may have fears and anxiety. May we treat them just like my mom said, as we hope to be treated when we're in their shoes. We also need to love her gratefully. Gratefully. I read a story about an elementary science class. They've been studying magnets and how metal objects are attracted to them. And at the end of the semester, the professor put this question on the exam. I am six letters. Start with M. Picks up things. What am I? Over half the kids put mother. Not magnet. Our moms need a sincere thank you. And not just today, but from a genuinely thankful heart when it's least expected. You still got your mother around. Be grateful. My blood mother's gone on, but I am so thankful for women that are strong in my life that have told me, you're like one of my own children. You're like a son to me. I'm so thankful that they are still around and in my life. My mom used to drive me up a wall sometimes as a child and as an adult. But I can tell you this. I am grateful that I was blessed to have a Christian mom in my life who taught me the things that I believe are bearing fruit right now. She staked my very life on train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. I hope she'd be proud. We need to also love our mothers generously. Generously. When you stop and think about it, there's nothing too good for mom. We could never repay her for everything that she's done. And we ought to do everything we can to show her how much we love her. Moms didn't spend on themselves so our needs could be met. Doing without so we could have. I read one time a teacher had a math question for his students. And he said, students, I want you to state your answer in the form of a fraction. There's 10 people at the table and one apple pie. How much did each one get? One kid said, 1/9. He said, 1/9? Don't you know your fractions? He said, don't you know my mom? He said, if there's that many people around the table, she don't want none. Moms did without so that we could have. We need to love her generously because she was generous to us. We also need to love her honorably. One of the Ten Commandments says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The way I read this, this is binding as long as our mother lives. If the husband is the head of the household, then the mother is the heart. Well, what if my mother wasn't honorable? The Bible doesn't say anything about that qualification. It just says, honor thy father and thy mother. And by the way, this is the only one of the Ten Commandments that includes a built-in blessing of long life. Our mothers deserve to be honored. If I were to list a few attributes of mothers, it would include words like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Many of the same attributes that are listed in the Bible as the fruit of the Spirit. It would seem that God pulled from the mother's heart the fruit of the Spirit that should be planted in us by her care and her example. Some of this is characterized in a little story I ran across called I'm Thirsty. The story goes that a little boy was sent to bed by his mother. 5 minutes later, she hears, "Mom! What? I'm thirsty. Can I have some water?" "No, it's too late. Be quiet. Go to bed." 5 minutes later, "Mom! What? I'm thirsty. Can I have some water?" "I've told you once no. Now, if you ask me again, I'm going to come in there and spank you. Close your eyes and go to sleep." 5 minutes later, "Mom, what? When you come in here to spank me, can you bring me some water?" I like that story because it shows that that child knew that mom was going to keep her word. That mom establishes an order for the household. And she carries out discipline, not just with justice, but with love. Reverend Billy Sunday said this, "God cannot be everywhere, so he gave us mothers." Now, there may be poetry in it, but it's true that the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. And if every cradle was rocked by a good mother, the world would be full of good men and women as sure as you breathe. If every boy and every girl today had a good mother, the saloons and disreputable houses would go out of business tomorrow. Amen. Amen. The advantage of a godly mother is that she instills the power of faith into her children. That gives those children courage when life goes sour. Jesus said, in this world, we were going to have trouble. So there's going to be a time when life goes sour, it goes south. But a godly mother prepares her children for those times. I read one time that a young man had been coming to a church, and one day he came forward and he gave his life to Christ. And the minister looked at him and said, "Young man, can I ask you something?" He said, "What was it?" "I said, that induced you to be a Christian." And the young man said, "Sir, with all due respect, it's nothing that I ever heard you say, but it's the way I saw my mother live." The psalmist says this about the value of a godly mother: "But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly." Notice that psalmist doesn't talk about the faith he gained at his father's knee. He talks about the depth of his faith that he found when he was with his mother. Mothers, when you live for Jesus Christ, your children become a heritage for the world. By your gift, the world is blessed. Our reward in the family of God, or the children of God, that you as mothers have worked so hard to bless us with. Miss Ellen Evans, another woman that had a deep impact on my life. Before she passed away, if I didn't call her, she would call me about every day. And one day, and she had no problem saying those three little words, "I love you." And one day, she had told me a couple of times, she said, "You've always been a good boy." I'm 57 years old, I'm still a boy. And finally, she'd said that two or three times in the conversation one day. And I said, "Miss Ellen," I said, "you really don't know everything you're talking about." I said, "I've not always been good." "Well, you were raised right." I said, "Yes, ma'am, I was raised right. But I didn't always do the things that I was taught. I didn't always do the things that my mom had instilled in me and my dad. I should have. Could have saved them and me a lot of heartache." And Miss Ellen, to make me feel so good, she finally said, "Well, you won't that bad." I wonder how many hours my mom prayed for me. When I was out doing things that I shouldn't have done, how many times did God send angels to protect me because of the prayers of my mom? How many times did she pray that God would give me a future and that I would follow the plan He had for my life? I got no idea. But I know she prayed. And I really believe God heard and answered those prayers. Thank you, mothers, for the Christian men and women of today, and for those that you'll give us tomorrow. Having a godly mother is the closest thing, I believe, to knowing what Jesus is really like. And we can rejoice in that blessing. Today, if you don't have a mother, either literally or figuratively, or if your mother passed away when you felt like you needed her most, you, me, and all of us have daily the power and the presence of Christ in His holy word and in His daily walk with us. And the Bible tells us that He longs to gather us together under His loving wings like a mother hen gathers her chicks. Mothers, I salute you today. And may God bless you in all of your work and your ministry as mothers. And bless you for all that you have accomplished and are continuing to accomplish even now. Let's make sure we honor and love our mothers today. They are truly a gift from God. Would you bow with me as we are dismissed? Loving God, as mother gives life and nourishment to her children, so too you watch over your church. bless these women that they may be strengthened as Christian mothers. Let the example of their faith and their love shine forth as a testimony to you. And grant that we, as their sons and daughters, may honor them always with a spirit of profound respect. And as we leave here today, may we be ever thankful for the mothers that loved us and gave us life, realizing that as much as they loved us, you love us even more. Realizing that as much as they truly gave us life, you give us life eternal. And for that, we should also be grateful. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. God bless you. Happy Mother's Day. I love you dearly.